from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And it's another day of Locked On Chiefs, and it's another day of Seth and I trying to find something to disagree about. But you got to check out everything he's doing on The Athletic, and then go watch my stuff at RGR, and we'll find something to disagree on, right?
Yeah, probably eventually. I mean, one of us is bound to be wrong about something eventually.
And I look forward to when you are.
I kind of set that right up on the tee for you, didn't I?
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah. Here you go. Take a swing. But yeah, I'll tell you, it's a relatively quiet time. We're past the first couple waves of free agency now. I'd say we're past the third wave even at this point. Now there's no more waves to come. Now it's just a signing here and there.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, there's a couple of guys, and I know we should get into this, but I've been back and forth because people have been listening to us. People are sold that Trey Boston can actually help this roster.
Right.
And when they hear me say, well, he's a little bit old or whatever, I have no good explanation why the Chiefs aren't looking at him, but there's got to be something, right?
There's got to be something. The Chiefs' current secondary coach was his secondary coach last year. And, you know, that's
kind of a sign.
That's
right?
Telling that they haven't had him for a visit. There's no reports that they're calling. You know, if I'm to believe whispers that I hear here and there, that they're just not interested in him. And what's interesting to me is this is the second year in a row. The safety market rebounded this year for a lot of people.
At the top.
Yep, at the top. And I just wonder if Boston, if there's something specific to him, or maybe like kind of what you just intimated, maybe there is an issue with the fact that people are willing to pay big money for the Tyrann Mathews and the Earl Thomases of the world, and to a slightly lesser extent, the Adrian Amoses of the world, but they're just not willing to pay for the Trey Bostons of the world.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I come back to. Like, you have a couple in Collins and Matthew and, right, and Thomas that are impact players that, you know, they can walk onto a roster, and whether it's, you know, being the enforcer type like Collins or working in the back to actually promote turnovers and whatever, you know, those guys are going to have an impact.
Right. I wonder, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing. You know, the idea of maybe what a lot of teams think is a good safety versus an average safety doesn't move the needle. I mean, mm-hmm. I have no idea, but either that or maybe it is situation specific to Trey Boston. But at the same time, you also have Ndamukong Suh, who, even though he wasn't like the world wrecking force that he'd been previously, he was, he was still pretty good with the Rams last year.
Yeah.
And
it brings me back to what I was talking about last week. And I know I wasn't talking with you, but my concept is that I feel like, pass rush wise, Derek Nnadi gave us more than we expected, right? But I still feel like if they're going to play this four-man front to its utmost, they need a little bit more penetration. And maybe that's something Suh can do. But along those lines, I'm kind of thinking towards the draft as well.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of really, really gifted defensive linemen in the draft this year. This is a good year to need a defender.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot on defense this year. And so there's a lot going on, even though there's not a lot going on. This is the time where rampant speculation runs wild. And I think that's half the fun.
Oh, okay. See, I try to ignore that.
I just mean personal speculation where I'm just like, well, what if they did this?
Right.
You know, like it was always fun, you know, when your season ended in Madden. Even though the games were the fun part, when the season ended, it was kind of like, hey, I'm pretty excited about this now. Now I get to build my roster and, you know, form it in my image. You know, maybe we all just like to play God. I don't know.
Well, I think you play differently than me because I don't even play the games in Madden. I go from draft to draft to draft. I'm not here to call plays, bro. I'm building rosters.
This is the fun part. This is the roster building thing. And that's where it constantly has me thinking, you know, well, you know, I kind of like where the Chiefs are at right now. I think they're a Super Bowl contender, but I think they could do a few more things. And so, you know, you constantly think about that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I do as well. And there are a couple of things going on outside of Andy back in his Tommy Bahama shirts. But one of them being is that the proposal that the team made to get each team in overtime at least a possession, looks like it's been tabled and it's not going to get a vote. I haven't heard anything other than that update, but I feel like the Chiefs are trying to make a point. They're trying to be leaders in moving that forward, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that change there is going to be difficult. Maybe if you have another couple of bad results, but there's always going to be people that just say, well, you know, if your team played defense, it wouldn't matter, which is a really good point.
It sucks when people make sense.
Yeah, I know, especially when it's something that I don't want. You know, right now, like, had it been a few years ago, I would have been like, nah, you can let the defense do it. But now that the Chiefs have an elite offense and an elite quarterback, now I'm like, no way, man. The quarterback should be on the field. Whereas, you know, again, a few years ago, I'd be like, ah, no, I think it's good enough if the defense stops them. You know, so what do I know? I'm just a slave to my desires, apparently. So, yeah, that did get tabled. And then, of course, yeah, Andy Reid owns that coach's picture every year. He does it so perfectly. Those Hawaiian shirts. You know, it makes me laugh every year.
And I got to tell you, I enjoy that it's rubbing off on Brett Veach. Did you see him in the little dock shoes and everything like that?
I did. He's definitely saying, you know what, if Andy can do it. I like, you know, I've heard talk that they're looking at different rules with regards to replay and stuff. And my understanding, based on what I saw on Twitter, is that Andy Reid and Bill Belichick were a couple of very, very strong voices in the room in terms of trying to figure this stuff out, which is nice to hear that Andy's voice is that big throughout the league.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, make your presence felt, because it's a unique perspective, and it certainly helps the organization from what it's gone through to try and make micro adjustments. And if they can sell the league, more power to them.
Absolutely. And I think we're all trying to figure out, you know, how to make football as good as possible. One thing that I heard someone say is that, you know, replay is great. One thing, you know, the idea of slowing everything down to microseconds and fractions of a second, that does make things a little bit rough.
Because
I understand trying to get things correct. But it also, there are certain points where, well, how much are we willing to slow down the game? Like, what works?
Well, and when you think about it, broadcast TV is shot in at least 60 frames a second. So there are a lot of different ways that you can pick a single frame out of a single second of a football game that's going to make sense for your argument.
Right, right.
It is what it is.
Yeah, we got to start disagreeing on stuff. You know what? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, Ryan.
More like it.
If that is your real name.
I don't know who I am, sir. Well, with that, let's take our break. We'll come back. We'll find something to argue about. Maybe some of these deals. Now you can get Locked On Chiefs on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the normal places. We're here for you 5 days a week, all off season long, with guests, analysis, film review, athleticism, my draft guide, and all kinds of stuff from The Athletic and Chiefs Digest. Make sure you get subscribed today, and you can do it over on the Himalaya podcasting app. So I know you put up a new article this week, and I like where you're going. I missed the conversation on Monday, and I know you guys talked some trades, but I think we're both starting to hear a little bit of noise about something going in a particular direction that I think can really help this team.
Yes, that would be – and I've heard a few things that make me think something may go – but I haven't heard enough to make me really talk about it up front. Because you know how that is. Like, I can't say – I'm not going to say names or anything like that. I'm only going to say – and again, these are whispers, you know, rumblings, rumors, blah, blah, blah.
Thank
blah,
you,
blah.
Jay Glazer.
Yeah, whatever they mean. Hey, you know, here's the thing, though. There's a difference between me and Jay Glazer, though, because if Jay Glazer says it, people are saying it. Because he knows everyone. That's just a fact. I mean, I don't know if there's any one person other than, like, you know, Rosenhaus or something who knows more people in the league than Jay Glazer. Like, when he started working for The Athletic, it was hilarious. He's like, I suppose I'll just call up Tony Gonzalez and interview him. And he just knows everyone. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And it's all personal relationships. I ran into him at Nobu in Las Vegas a couple of years ago. And it's incredible to see just how many faces stop dead in the middle of the road to say hello.
Oh, see, and that's a skill. And he's done a good job with that. And I think he's been responsible with stuff over the years. And that makes a big difference. So I'm trying to be responsible in a similar way by not, like, saying exact names. But all I know is when Andy Reid said, you know, wow, it wouldn't surprise me if Brett did something. You know, he's really aggressive, all that. I don't think that's just talk. I think the Chiefs are sniffing around, understanding the unique position they're in. And for me, and this is what the article was about. I personally want to see the Chiefs be very aggressive, grabbing one more defensive playmaker. And I was curious where you landed on that, because you like the draft more than I do. You value draft picks more than I do.
I do, only because it allows you to take chances and then move on. See what works for your roster and give those guys extensions. Don't just extend somebody because they happen to have been on your roster for 4 years. You know what I mean? So I see it as a way that you can invest, particularly when you have a coaching staff like Kansas City does, where there's so many bits and pieces that can actually drag the most out of a young player and turn him into something that he might not be anywhere else in the league. And that's why I emphasize it.
Sure. And that makes sense. That all makes sense. And there's obviously the idea of cost. You know, you can, if you hit on a second or third round draft pick and they turn out to be a good player, they are much more valuable than a good player that you're paying $15 million a year in a world with a salary cap. And yeah. so there's value there. And I totally understand it. I look at the Chiefs as they're constructed right now. And I don't know, man. Does that defense make you nervous?
Yeah. I mean, like we said, what did we talk about this, a week or 2 weeks ago? I still feel like it's a touch worse than it was last season, because they haven't replaced as much talent as they gave up. But I feel like the next couple of moves, whether it is before or after or during the draft, can really make that change. And one thing, you said it a minute ago when you were talking about what Andy Reid said from Arizona, and it clicks with me, because normally you would say, you know, why would a head coach give away what his GM's thinking or what his GM's doing behind the scenes? And here's what it comes down to. By putting it out there that Brett Veach is an aggressive GM, it puts the rest of the league on notice that, hey, if he wants a guy, he's going to come after him. I might be able to get more value from him than I could anywhere else in this league. So when that phone rings and it says, you know, 816 on it, I'm going to pick that up and give it a listen.
Right. Well, and it also, I think it's an invitation. I think, and this is one of the focuses of my article, is there are a lot of teams out there, or at least a fair number of them, that have, that are, say, in the first couple years of a rebuild, that have expensive but good veterans on their team. So take, for example, the Chiefs situation with Justin Houston. Even though his contract was so expensive and everyone knew that they were moving on to the point that it just didn't work in terms of getting a trade value, right? There are a lot of teams that are in that position with a guy that they really don't want to keep around because of the cost, but they're a good player who can provide value elsewhere. And so, you know, if a team's in a rebuild, or if they just franchise tagged a guy and he's not happy, DeMarcus Lawrence in Dallas. and then there are a lot of people, oh, no, that's crazy. They'd never trade him. It's like, well, he's pretty pissed that they tagged him the second year in a row.
Well, he is. But let me ask you this, because I don't think Chris asked you this. Is there anything to say that at the point in his age, in his career path, that having to, A, pay for the tag and then try to extend him for what is going to be a gargantuan contract, does that give you any pause? Because it gives me some.
I don't know. I mean, he is good. He's great in ways that definitely look repeatable. And it doesn't look like it's just like, oh, he started trying harder. He's really developed as a player. And again, you know, maybe I'm biased because he's the only player I saw give Mitch Schwartz consistent issues. And we've talked about that before. Khalil Mack didn't give Schwartz consistent issues. Von Miller didn't. Like, they beat him from time to time, but he always gave as good as he got. DeMarcus Lawrence is the only player I've seen where I was like, man, he really got the better of him there.
Yeah, like
throughout the game. It was crazy. And so there are guys in that situation. And so those are the types of players that I think, you know, if you're a GM and you have them and you've got Andy Reid saying stuff like this at the coaches' meetings, it makes you think, you know, maybe I should give them a call. Maybe if, you know, say you're the GM of the Cardinals and you've got Patrick Peterson, who we've talked about a zillion times here, and you've got him on 2 more years of a deal, and you think, huh. So, I mean, are we going to contend in the next 2 years? Probably not. And do we need a lot of help in the draft, especially when we draft Kyler Murray? Because let's face it, that's probably what they're going to do. Which, you know, takes them out of contention for doing what you'd normally do in their situation, because they just drafted a guy last year. Normally what you do is you trade that number one pick for a bounty, because there are teams that are really all in on Kyler Murray. And then you'd use that to replenish your offensive line and build around Rosen, but I don't think that's what they're going to do.
I don't either. I'm not sure there's teams that are that all in on Kyler Murray. There's a lot of question marks about him, more so than a number one quarterback has been in a number of years. But my bigger question is, you're going to move Josh Rosen one way or the other. Yep. I mean, welcome to DC, Josh, because that's where I think you're going. But in return, you're going to get draft picks, which makes me think that in terms of the value you have to have on one of your defensive stars, if you were going to move on to him, mm-hmm. gets reduced because of the overall bounty that you're getting in a singular draft. So I think that works in the Chiefs' favor, and I want to see them get the Josh Rosen deal done with someone, because I think that will loosen things up in Arizona.
I absolutely think so. That would at least it allows them to move on to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could be, you know, whether it's, you know, a Jalen Ramsey who was kind of unhappy a little bit in Jacksonville last year. And some of these guys may not be, you know, you might call them and the GM laughs and hangs up. That's certainly within the realm of possibility. But do you have an opportunity here? And that's basically the entirety of the argument is the Chiefs, they should be buyers. They are right there. They are on the cusp, man. And it does bother me that they've taken what I would call optimistically, I think the most optimistic way you can spin it is that in total, they've taken a small step forward on defense when you include Spagnuolo over Sutton.
Yeah, and that's fair. I want to talk about one other position. Let's take our second break, folks. We'll be right back. We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today. I got a lot of questions this week when I did the Q&A. And folks, I do that every Monday night on the RGR YouTube channel. Do it live. So jump in there and join if you can. And a lot of the focus came to, this is such a unique draft in terms of what's available at the inside off-ball linebacker spot. And a lot of folks had questions about how the Chiefs are going to line up, if we really believe their story, if this isn't an area of focus that it should be. And I kind of feel like the team feels that they can stand pat with the guys that they have, maybe add some depth. I'm not sure if I buy that. I'd like to see them try to move up in terms of drafting somebody to be an upgrade. Now, I don't mean move up in terms of draft selections. But where do you stand on the Wilson, Hitchens, Raglan kind of lineup?
I am not a big fan of the Wilson, Hitchens, Raglan's lineup. I know that that's, I have no reason to doubt Nate's reporting that that's what the team is planning on doing right now. And that's Nate Taylor, my colleague with The Athletic. He was one of the people who said that when Wilson got signed. And Nate has his finger to the pulse of what the Chiefs are saying better than I think anyone right now, except maybe Therese when he jumps back into that neck of the woods. And that seems to be, that's what they're planning right now. Now that those plans are subject to change. I'm not crazy about that group. I don't think there's enough speed there. And that bothers me. Mm-hmm. Wilson is not a great athlete. Now he's finally a body type to play Sam. And I'm glad that they got mm-hmm. someone to do that. But you know, Hitchens, I pictured him, I just don't see a Will there. I don't think he's got the speed for it. Now, maybe he proves me wrong. There were some snaps last year, and I know you saw him too, where every now and then, you know, and actually when I rewatch games to look at other defensive players, I realize that this happened more often than I thought. And I think we were just already all in on the Hitchens is playing really badly. Now, I'm not saying he didn't, for the record, but there would be right. snaps where he would come out of nowhere and just fly in there and lay someone out. And so yep. maybe the idea is he was badly misused last year. And when he is unblocked and he is going downhill, he looks like a completely different player.
Yeah. And the hesitation in particular, I think, hurt both of them. Inside.
Right. And so he looks much faster. So maybe that's the idea. For me, it just made so much more sense, in my opinion. Ragland, I have serious concerns about his speed. Now, again, we'll see. Maybe it was the hesitation issue. But I would have much rather seen them go with a Wilson, Hitchens, O'Daniel lineup. I think it would have made a lot more sense.
I think that's fair. And I'm a Reggie Ragland right. guy. But I think, you know, in a 4-3 rather than a 3-4, he's going to play a specific role and he's going to play downhill. Forward is what Reggie can do. Now, I know he made a couple of picks late. And that, honestly, I've pulled the film on those and he played better as the season went on. So I'm not 100% sure that that knee wasn't still bothering him. But my point is, he's not a guy that's going to play in deep zones. He can get into that, you know, 8 to 12 yard mid zone and be okay, mm-hmm. I think. But if there's any hesitation, you got to have a way to shift him around. And I agree with you. I don't like Hitchens at will. I think you got to have more speed, particularly with O'Daniel already on the roster.
Well, and that's what I don't get. I feel like they have a guy who is a perfect, in my opinion, modern day Will outside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe not 20 years ago or even 10 years ago, but I think with the direction the NFL has gone. Now, and again, I'm not in the meeting room, you know, maybe because O'Daniel was out of position at times and some zone coverages and stuff. So maybe they don't trust him.
Well, it's like he was a rookie or assignments. Something.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like he was a rookie in a scheme that everyone seemed to struggle with zone, mm-hmm. which tells me something, but be that as it may. And so maybe that's the reason, but to me, I mean, O'Daniel makes so much sense as the guy that you want running around free and clear of blockers. And I understand that their plan right now is, yeah, we want to play him on a lot of nickel and dime downs, which means he may well be on the field 60% of the time, 70% of the time. But to me, even against the run, I'm a lot more confident with him on the field against runs to the edges and quick throws to the edges than I am Hitchens, because I saw Hitchens put in that situation last year and it was not his strong suit.
Yeah, I agree. And here's the tough part. There's nobody out there free agents that you can go get. So you got to look at the draft class if you want to try and upgrade it. And I know Ben Neiman's sitting there on the roster as well. And he's got more wheels that I think than Ragland in particular, but not as strong against the run. And that's what's been killing you the last few years. So I don't know if they're really going to give it the heed that it needs, but going to a 3-linebacker starting set, you know, assuming you're in the base and all that, you know, you're looking at carrying more backups at linebacker. And so I feel like this is going to be something they're going to address in the draft. Maybe not day one for sure. Maybe not even day two, but I think they're going to get somebody.
It does make sense to at least take a look at it. And even though, you know, the whole conversations we've had that, nickel and dime looks are really the new base sets. Well, as long as you are a 43 base, you are going to need an extra linebacker of that type. And so it'll be interesting to see if they address it. I'm curious what kind of body type they grab, what type of defender they grab. You know, is he closer in makeup to Ragland or O'Daniel or somewhere in between?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be interested as well, but that will be interesting when it comes. And folks, I'll be reviewing all the linebackers with you before we get to the draft. And Seth can listen or he can ignore it and wait till they pick somebody. So whatever you want, pal.
I'm really good at ignoring things. That's kind of a specialty of mine.
I like it. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us today. Make sure you are checking out everything on The Athletic. He's got a lot of good theories over there and he types really, really fast.
I do.
And you can see my stuff over at RGR. Check out Chiefs Digest as well. We'll be back with Matt and Chris this week. Thanks for today and listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.